Bibles to Psalms 23. Aren't you glad that you're not the one holding tomorrow? Man, it'd fall apart, wouldn't it? Even if you had all your choices in the election, you got everything you wanted, it'd all still fall apart because it was you that was holding it. Still messed it up. We think we know what's best for our country. We think we know what's best for our family, for ourselves. But truthfully, if you don't give it to Him, man, we just messed the whole thing up. I love when you're praying about what to preach and the service kind of confirms what you're supposed to preach. And we're going to head to Psalms 23, one of my favorite psalms. I'm going to read the first phrase and then we're going to pray. I love this phrase because we don't know about tomorrow. We don't understand what's going to happen. But this right here, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You again for being my shepherd. God, I thank You for loving me. God, I thank You for caring about me. Thank You for the songs that we've heard tonight. God, I thank You for our sins being forgiven, Lord. I thank You for raising from the dead. Yes. God, I thank You for getting the victory and conquering death and hell. God, I thank You for being what we can never be. And God, I thank You for replacing our sin on Calvary, Lord. I pray that You just please help us now. I pray that You'd help me to preach. I pray that You'd fill me with Your Spirit. God, I need You tonight, God, and I pray that I'd have Your hand on me, Lord, and Your power. God, I pray that everything I say would be from You, and God, I pray that You'd please touch hearts tonight, God. There's heavy hearts in here, there's burdens in here, God, but I know You're a big God, Lord, and I pray that You would help them, and Lord, I pray that people would receive Your hand tonight, God, that they would allow You to take their future. God, thank You, and I love You, and I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I got thinking about that psalm, and you know what I like about it? I like it because David was a shepherd. Yeah. David started in a field raising sheep. That's what he did. And when he did that, he did it so faithfully that God looked at him and said, hey, you know what? That's a man that I can use. Yeah. That's a man that I can make the king over a nation because he was faithful in the small things. Yeah. See, that's how you get to the next step of the Christian life, by the way. Yeah. So many people, me and Brother David were talking about it a little while ago, frustrated ambition, where they just want to take that next step, that next step, that next step. But what you don't realize is God has given you a little bit of things to look after, and He's waiting to see how faithful you'll be to it. And if you're faithful to it, and you serve the Lord, and you do what's right, then promotion comes from the Lord. And so here you see David, and he's faithful to the sheep and was a great shepherd. In fact, one of the things that the devil was trying to kind of get on him and hurt him through his brother is his brother comes up to him and goes, I know how you are, David, when he showed up to fight Goliath, right? He said, I know you. You probably left the sheep by themselves, huh? Just trying to take jabs. Isn't that what the world does? Yeah. The world just tries to take jabs. You're trying to do right. You're trying to live right. And there's somebody who always got to constantly jab at you, just try to mess you up and make you fall. But you know what David said? Is there not a cause? He said, hey, don't worry about the sheep. I'm a good shepherd. I made sure they were taken care of. I made sure there's somebody watching them, and I've protected them over the years. I've done my job, and now I'm here, and there's a giant telling me that my God's nothing. Is there not a cause? Yeah. And that's why David becomes the greatest king, earthly king, that Israel ever see, because he loved the Lord and trusted the Lord, and because he followed the Lord. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I love this psalm because it's very personal. Sometimes when you read the Bible, you read like Nehemiah and Ezra and things like that, and they say we, which is good. Sometimes it's good to say, our sin and we have done wrong and things like that. But when you read when David writes a psalm, he says me and I and my. It's very a personal relationship with the Lord. He's talked to Him. I believe that when he was writing this psalm, he probably had a smile on his face thinking just that morning what God had done for him. He had a personal relationship with Him. See, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, how would he know that he won't want? Because he found God, that every time he trusted, God provided. You say, well, he was a king. Of course. He had everything he wanted. He had servants. He had all the gold you could ask for. He had the trees and the wood and the timber, all those things. He had everything that he could possibly ask for given to him and handed to him. But realize it wasn't always that way. See, he learned to trust God not in the palace, but in a cave. He learned to trust God not sitting on a throne watching a nation. He learned how to trust God sitting in a cave running from a king. See, when he was alone and no one else cared about him, he went to a place called Ziklag, and he was there and trying to find safety in a Philistine king. You know what he found? He never should have trusted him. He should always kept on trusting God. It was personal to him. He realized that, hey, when I have a need, it's going to be God that fulfills that need. I wonder, do you know that tonight? I wonder if you really do realize, we say it all the time, and it's very easy for us to say, but do we realize that every time there's a need in our life, God will provide it? Maybe not all our wants, but every one of our needs. But let's be honest, he does a whole lot of wants too. Ain't that the blessing about God? He takes care of all your needs, and then I think if you really think about it, you got a whole lot of wants that he took care of too. It's a good God. He said, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He said, I'm so thankful that while I'm going through life, and I think about this story, hey, this is a man who was running for his life, but he called it still waters. That don't sound like still waters to me. That sounds like some pretty rough waters. That sounds like some storms and some hardships. And we'll read in Psalms where David is crying out to God, saying, man, my enemies have encompassed me. At one point he says, the sorrows of hell have got hold upon me. Man, things get rough for David, but you know what he said? More times than not, God, you've led me by some still waters. You took care of every situation. He said, he restoreth my soul. Aren't you glad that God restores some things sometimes in your life? Man, I remember when he goes to Ziklag and everything gets taken from him, his wife, his belongings, all those things. And David ends up taking that ephod. And he ends up getting a hold of God in such a way that God said, go, I'll deliver them in your hands. And it says, and David recovered all, everything. God will always restore your soul. Sometimes I think Christians just need to get to a place where saying, God, I'm dry. Lord, I've been just trucking along, trying to do right. And man, sometimes when you're just living the Christian life, man, you get beat up. You know what it's okay to do? Say, God, would you restore my soul? Would you help me? Would you just give me a little bit of that fire again? You know what I was praying this week? That Faith Baptist Church would get a fire again. I mean, a real fire. I'm talking, it doesn't have to be running the aisles every single time. It doesn't have to be shouting and jumping pews. But if you are sitting in your seat and just go, man, God is good. And get that fire in your heart again just to say, man, I'm going to serve God with everything I have. I've really been slacking. I've really been lazy lately. But man, God, you're just good to me. And that fire starts to kindle once again. And you say, God, I'm going to give you everything. That's what I'm praying for. Yeah. He can restore that in you. David found that out personally. He said, God restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank God for that. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod is for correction. That staff is for leading. A lot of times, that in the same way, a shepherd will raise the staff in the air, and the sheep can see that from no matter how far they are, and they go, hey, that's my master. I've got to get to him. I've got to follow him. And if it comes to correction, he'll use that rod, not because he hates you, but because he loves you, trying to get you in the right path. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Haven't you found in your life that your cup just runs over? I mean, the blessings of God are just so wonderful that you can't help but go, man, God has really been good to me. My cup truly does run over. But like I said this morning, so many times we get looking at us and all the bad things and all the hardships and all the hard times, and then we forget how good God's been. But here's David, man, he's got this pen in his hand, he's writing, he's saying, God, you sure have been good to me. He found out personally how good God was. It's a personal relationship. Verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He found out personally the Lord was his shepherd. He found out that God would take care of him no matter what. It's a personal thing between him and God. But can I tell you this tonight, church? God is our shepherd. He's there for us. He's there waiting to lead. He's there waiting to help and have his hand out. Listen, we could say too, I shall not want, if we trust him. We can say the same thing, that he leadeth me beside the still waters and helps me through trials, if we trust him. We can say, man, the Lord has prepared a table before me. And I think about Mephibosheth. I wonder if Mephibosheth had ever read what David said. And man, I wonder if he ever thought, David prepared a table for me because God did it for him. Yeah. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. Listen, Mephibosheth sat at that table, and he was just like all the other king's sons. Nobody saw that he was lame on his feet. Nobody saw that he was different. When he was sitting at the king's table, he was just one of the king's sons. That's how it is with the Lord. When you're at the king's table, it doesn't matter what your past is, what your present. It doesn't matter what sin has messed you up. It doesn't matter what has made you lame through this Christian life. When you're sitting at the king's table, you're just a child of the king. And he said, he's prepared my table. He found out personally. I wonder tonight, do you know him personally? And I'm not talking about salvation. Don't get me wrong. Now, if you're not saved in here tonight, get saved. I encourage you to do that. But I'm talking to Christians tonight. You say, well, I'm saved. He's my personal Lord and Savior, so I know him personally. But the sad truth is, many are saved, but few know him. Right. Truly know him. See, you knew that you were lost and that you needed a Savior. You knew that your ways have gotten you so far and hell was going to be the only finality for your life. And here's Jesus Christ saying, hey, if you trust me, I'll save you. That's a pretty good deal. It's easy for us to take. We're like, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and you're the way to that, so I trust you that you'll save me. But then unfortunately, it never gets further than that. I would think that someone who gave his life for us, we'd want to get to know him so much more. We should all know him like Psalms 23. We can read it, we can quote it, we can understand it, but I wonder, do we know, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord is my shepherd? Look at John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. John chapter 10, look at verse number 14. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. He tells this whole story, goes through this parable talking about the door and talking about the sheepfold and talking about a thief and a robber and all these things. And what he tries to get across when the disciples finally say, hey, Lord, I don't understand. What are you trying to say? First, he says, I am the door. If you're not saved in here tonight, there's only one way, one truth, and one life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door. There's so many just final things with Jesus Christ. There is no multiple ways. There is no different paths that someone can take. Jesus, every time he talks, says, hey, I'm it. I'm the only option in this life. And so if you're not saved in here tonight, realize that he is the Savior and you need him. He said, I'm the door. But again, if you're saved in here tonight, I'm talking to Christians, realize that he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He has says, I love what he says in verse number 14. He says, I'm the shepherd, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I want you to realize first, he's the knowing shepherd. You know what I'm really thankful for? No matter what I'm going through, God knows me. He knows me personally. It's not just that I know him. See, through history, there's been all types of gods, little g, right, that people have known. And they did everything they could. They worshiped them. They gave offerings to them. They did all they could and sacrificed for some false idol, but they did not know them back. That idol made of wood or stone had no idea who they were. And when they were going through the hardest times in their life, trusting in a false god, that false god had no idea they were going through anything. But we serve a God who knows us. We don't just know him. He knows us. And not only does he know us, but he loved us first. He loved us when we were in our sin. I love Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows us. The Bible says that he knows every hair on the top of our head. He knows it all. And that's a pretty intimate God. He knows everything about us. You know what I love about that? I love that he knows us by name. John 10, verse number 3. Says, to him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through my darkest hour, I'm sure glad that God can call me by name. That's a pretty big deal. See, when everything's hard, I'm glad that God can look down and go, hey, Michael Shane, I'm here. I just want you to know that. Michael Shane, I'm here for you. And just like that song says, hey, if you put your hand in my hand, I hold the future, not you. If you trust me, I'm glad he knows me by name. If you're going through something tonight, I don't know your heartaches. I don't know every trial in here, but I sure do know this. There's some heavy hearts. If you trust the Lord, he knows your name. He's there. He's calling out for you. You just have to listen. He's there for you. I'm so glad he knows my name. You know what else he knows about me? He knows my weaknesses and he knows my situation. Nothing has ever caught him off guard. And listen, there's a lot of things that have caught me off guard. There's a lot of things, man, I'll just wake up one morning and my life has changed. There's times where, man, I'm going one way and then something happens, some storm, some trial, something happens and everything is different. But you know what I'm thankful for? Yeah, it rocked my world. I'll be honest with you. There's times, man, it's so hard and I'm like, God, I don't know if I can get over this. I don't know if I can make it through this. And you know what he says? I know, but I'm here for you. And I know your name through all this. I'm just a call away. I'm glad he knows my situation. I'm glad he knows my weaknesses. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse number 13. Our associate pastor quotes this a lot, and I love when he does. I love this verse. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He knows your weaknesses. He knows what's going to tempt you. He knows what's going to knock you out. He knows that if the devil can play some dirty trick or set some trap just in the right way, that it's going to mess you up. And he knows that. And so you know what he says? Hey, you're not going to go through this alone. Because guess what? By ourselves, we're going to fall every time. But he knows our weaknesses. And so he says, hey, child, I just want you to know I'm here for you. And I've made a way for you to escape. You say, what is that way, him? He is the way. He said, didn't he say, I am the way? So if there's a way to escape and there's only one way, that must be him too. He is the way to escape. It's the only way. Listen, when you're at your worst, and man, and I say this to the teenagers a lot, the devil's not going to come for you when you're on the mountaintop. When everything's going good and you're super Christian and you're high up on the mountaintop and you're living life and you're thankful and everything's going great, you know what the devil does? He's patient. He'll wait. And he'll wait until you're alone. He'll wait till you're heartbroken. He'll wait till you're down and out. And then he'll set that trap because he knows that's when you're at your weakest. See, Satan waits for you to be at your weakest, but you know what I find about being at our weakest? That's when his strength is made perfect in weakness. God knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our situations. He is a knowing shepherd. If you're in here tonight and you're going through something, I just want to encourage you tonight. God knows. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he knows your name. That's a big deal. We sing that song, He Knows My Name, and sometimes I think because we sing it, maybe often we think, well, yeah, I like that song. No, no. He knows who you are, and he knows what you're going through, and he cares. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God cares about us. He cares what we're going through. Look back at John chapter number 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verse number 11. This is what Jesus says. Again, he says, I'm the good shepherd, repeats himself, but this time he has something else to say. He says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want you to realize this. He is a knowing shepherd, but thank God he's a merciful shepherd. He's a merciful shepherd. We serve a God who died for us. We can say that over and over and over again behind this pulpit, and it should never get old to you. God died for you. Mark 10:45 says, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, hey, I'm going to die so that you don't have to. He tells of a hireling, a shepherd who's just in it for the money. He says, hey, when the wolf comes, they'll leave the sheep. Hey, when somebody comes to hurt the sheep, they'll leave them unprotected. But listen, we serve a God who will never leave you unprotected. We serve a God who looks out for your best interests. You say, well, I've gotten hurt. I've gotten attacked. What happened? You probably got outside the fence. You probably took a step outside the door. You probably wanted something that you shouldn't have had. And God's sitting there going, hey, don't you realize you're the safest here with me? He's a protector. He's a merciful shepherd. He gave his life for you. I want you to notice John 10:16. I love this part. He says, and other sheep I have. You know what I love about the shepherd? He's so merciful, he takes the other sheep. You say, what do you mean by that? I work at a school where I'm used to teachers calling us the other kids, right? They're the special needs kids, special education, and so they're the other ones. See, I love them to death, so I'm ready to fight a teacher when they talk about my kids like that. It's kind of like the big brother syndrome, right? I can make fun of them, but if you do, we're going to fight, all right? I love them. But you know what I realize? We're the other sheep. That's us. Hey, you say, well, how do you know that? Because we're not the elect. We're not Israel. We're not chosen by God. We chose God. See, God one day decided to have a friend named Abraham, and Abraham believed him, and his faith was counted to him for righteousness. And what he said, what did you believe? He said, hey, Abraham, you see all that land? I'm going to give it to you. And God said, or and Abraham said, okay, I believe it. And God said, really? All right. He said, well, all that land is yours. And by the way, I'm going to give you so many children, they're going to pass the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea. And Abraham said, okay, I believe it, Lord. And because of that, because of Abraham's faith, God chose an entire nation. He said, hey, through you, Abraham, because you chose me, I'm going to choose them. And so all through history, still today, by the way, we don't believe in replacement theology. Even today, God has a chosen people, and that is Israel, and they're his people. And one day he's coming back to them, and everything's going to start afresh and start anew, and Israel's going to be forgiven. There's going to be a resurrection and all those great things. So that's going to be a great day, but we're the other sheep. See, something happened in the middle of the whole thing. He said, hey, I just want you to realize, Israel, I love you. You're my first choice. You're everything to me, but you've rejected me. See, in the Old Testament, they rejected God the Father. They wanted nothing to do with him. They said, hey, God, I know that you've brought us out of Egypt. I know that you've provided for us, but you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to serve Baal and all these other gods, so we don't need you. But God's merciful. And so then he sends his son. And what does Jesus say? I've come to the lost sheep of Israel. He says, I've come for Israel, my people. And you know what they do? They hang him on a cross and they crucify him. I think, to me, let's just be honest, my earth mind, I'm done with them right there. Done. And there would be no revelation. I'm not coming back. I'm just being honest. But here you've got a people who have rejected God the Father, rejected God the Son, and then he says, I'm giving you one more chance. And here comes Stephen. And Stephen, he begins to preach, and he tells them, hey, you crucified the Lord and all this, and the Holy Spirit shows up and convicts them. And you know what they do? Just like they did God the Father and God the Son, they reject the Holy Spirit of God. That's three strikes, you're out. And so God says, all right, you don't want me, you don't care about me, there's some other sheep over there. Those sheep, guess what? They're not without spot and without blemish. Those other sheep, man, they're not elect like Israel. Hey, they're not perfect. They're not this amazing people. They're kind of the ragtag bunch that nobody else wants to be around. You know when Jacob had the sheep with his father-in-law, and he was giving them the food to eat that would make them spotted and make them ringed and all that? That's us. We're the ones that nobody wants at market. You say, well, I don't know, I'm kind of special. You're really not. There's nothing good about you, all right? There's nothing good about me. Listen, I'm the sheep that no one wants. Brittany was the only one. She said, I'll take you in all your imperfections. Thank God for that. But listen, nobody wants us, man. We're the rejected sheep. But here's God saying, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Aren't you thankful? Hey, I feel bad for Israel. They rejected him. But I am thankful that because of that, God said, hey, I've got some other sheep. I thank God that he still decided and said, hey, you know what? Just for a time, for a season, there's some Gentiles. That means not a Jew. And I'm going to come to them, and I'm going to be with them, and I'll be their God. And you had a chance, Israel. David said, hey, the Lord is my shepherd. But the nation of Israel said, no, I don't want that shepherd. But thank God, he said, fine, then I'll be their shepherd. What a merciful God. I'm glad he came to us. I'm glad he loves the other sheep. And not only that, look at Luke chapter number 15. Luke 15. Look at verse number 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You know what I'm thankful for? He's a merciful shepherd who goes after the wandering sheep. Amen. The ones that get away. Aren't you thankful? I bet you we can go through this room and we have a whole lot of wandering sheep in here. I know I have in my life. I know there's been times like that song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I feel it. There's been times where my heart has drifted away from God. There's been times in my teenage years as a young man that I got away from God and started wanting to go back to my lustful desires, going back to what my flesh wanted, going back to what this world wanted. But thank God for a merciful shepherd who went out of his way to find me, even when I was living my life and doing what I wanted to do in the muck and the mire and the pigsty, all that. When I was in the worst of my life, I thank God for a merciful shepherd who came and found me. Amen. He said, hey, you know what? You might be done with me, but I'm not done with you. And I'm glad that, like this, I love what he says. He says he puts the sheep on his shoulders. And aren't you glad that we're not carrying him, he's carrying us? Aren't you glad that he puts us on his shoulders? Because I don't know about you, but that finish line, sometimes it looks pretty far away. Sometimes that finish line, man, you've been limping, you've been hurting, and you're just thinking, man, God, I can't get to that finish line. And God says, I know. And he puts you on his shoulders. He said, let's do it together. And he walks us across that finish line. Man, we have a merciful shepherd. I'm glad that he came after me, aren't you? Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This is Peter talking. He's saying, hey, I was there when he was crucified. I've seen all that. I'm an elder in the church. And this is his charge to them in verse number 2. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. He says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So what's that crown of glory? It's also known as the pastor's crown. So that's given to a man who's faithful to the Lord and stood behind a pulpit for years and years and years and fed the sheep. Did everything. He didn't care about money. He didn't care about getting taken care of. All he cared about was serving his people. And saying, here's the word of God. He studied. He did everything he could to give you a message. And because of that, there's a crown that comes with that, the crown of glory. But I want you to realize something. When's that crown of glory going to be given? What's that first part of verse number 4? It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. See, we're considered an under-shepherd, right? Yep. We've been given a ministry, and thank God for that, but we're under the good shepherd. Amen. We're under the chief shepherd. You know what I'm excited about? He is a knowing shepherd. I thank God he knows me. He is a merciful shepherd. I'm glad that when I'm at my worst, he's at his best, and he still finds me and takes care of me. But you know what I'm most excited about? He's a returning shepherd. He's not leaving us here, folks. Miss Jessica got up here and gave a whole testimony about she's so unsure about tomorrow. And I think we're all facing that. I think we're all living in a day and age right now where I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm tired of not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. I hate turning on my television and hearing more bad news. Amen. And it gets worse and worse and worse every day. I'm tired of it. And I have news for you. No matter which way the election goes, it's still going to get worse and worse and worse. Why? Because God's not in control. And if God's not in control, it doesn't matter what man sits in that chair. It's just going to go down. You say, you're trying to scare us? No, but I'm trying to tell you, one day he's returning. Amen. See, God's going to get sick and tired of it like we are. He's long-suffering. Thank God for that. But imagine how much you hate hearing the news. Imagine how much you hate hearing that unborn babies are being killed. Imagine how much you hate that that homosexuality is running rampant and sin and iniquity abounds. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that when iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. I've seen that day in and day out in the church. I've seen in churches where iniquity is abounding, and so the love of many are waxing cold. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of seeing friends fall out of church. I'm tired of seeing pastors quit their ministry. I'm tired of seeing people falling out by the wayside, not getting back up and never getting back in. But you know what I'm thankful for? That as tired as I am, God's sitting in heaven going, I'm tired of it. You don't want to serve me? Fine. You want to live the way you want to live? I'm coming back and changing things. I thank God that he is going to return and he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm glad he's coming back to rule and reign. I'm glad that one day I don't have to worry about what man is in office. I'm glad that one day I don't have to worry about who's in charge, what dumb rule is going to be made. One day it's going to be the King of Kings that's in charge, and every rule he has will be perfect and just and holy. Thank God for that. Listen, get excited about the fact that we don't lose in the end. Get excited that no matter how bad it gets, one day it's going to get a whole lot better. It might get worse, but we've got a God who one day will be in charge again. One day he will rule and reign. So why don't you get with the program now? He's a returning shepherd. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So why are you showing these verses? We've already seen them. We've read them. Because Paul says, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter number 4, 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse number 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that, church? Amen. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Aren't you glad for that? Yes, hey, they're just sleeping. The ones that have gone and we haven't seen them in a long time, it hurts, but guess what? They're just sleeping. And one day the Lord's going to call them up and their body's going to rise. Verse number 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I can't wait until forever is with God. Man, I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of Satan destroying lives. I'm tired of homes being wrecked. I'm tired of broken hearts. But one day God is going to step out on a cloud and call my name and everything's going to change. Thank God for that. He's a returning shepherd. And when he comes, I like this part. Look at Matthew 24. Now, what we just read about is the rapture. What we're going to read about next is the second advent. There's a difference. Look at Matthew 24. See, in 1 Thessalonians, that's for us. That's for the church. The church is going to get raptured out. But here's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when he comes to stay. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 29. I like how he comes. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I need you to picture this for a moment. The sun goes out. The moon goes out. The heavens give no light whatsoever. That sounds pretty dark. This world is going to get real dark real quick. But then, out of nowhere, there's going to be some people sitting here, and they're like, man, there's no sun, there's no moon, I can't see. And then, oh, there's a little glimmer of light. And they look up to that eastern sky. And man, it's about to get a whole lot brighter than the sun they've ever seen. That moon has never produced a light like what they're about to see. All the stars in the universe cannot produce a light like they're about to see. They're going to look up, and it's going to be the Son of God, full of glory, high and lifted up, coming back. I want to talk about the God who's got flame eyes, talking about brazen feet. We're talking about that God. We're talking about a God who's going to be riding a white horse, coming back for his people and saying, hey, I told you I was coming back, whether you believed it or not. Here I am. And he's going to bust the eastern sky wide open. He's coming back as the main attraction. You know what he's tired of? He's tired of people not looking to the author and finisher of their faith. He's tired of Christians not looking up because their salvation draweth near. He's tired of people not keeping their eyes on the Lord, so one day he's going to blacken everything out so all you can see is him. All you can see is the Savior coming. And then you know what's going to happen? Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. My favorite chapter in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Who's the him? That's Jesus Christ. Say, why is he highly exalted? Because one day he decided to be robed in the flesh and become less than the angels and become a man. And he did that for you and I. And not only to become a man, but he was obedient unto death. He obeyed God all the way to the cross for you and I. And because of that, God's so pleased with his son and all that he did and the sacrifice that he made that verse number 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name of that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, he's going to come, right? The clouds, everything's going to be darkened. The sky is going to be black. Here comes this bright light. Here comes the glory of the Lord. He's going to show up. And not only is he going to show up, but after he's done taking over, and it's his millennium kingdom, he's reigning supreme, nobody can help but to bow the knee. Nobody can help. Listen, I don't know about you. How many have a job where you're tired of hearing coworkers mock your God? Where you're tired of hearing the name Jesus Christ over and over again, and it's not in any reverence. It's not in any way that is lifting him up. It's in a way of mocking. It's in a way of blasphemy. I'm tired of hearing it. But one day, those same lips that have mocked our God, those same lips that have cursed you out and told you, why do you have faith, that made fun of you for serving God, one day they're going to bow on their knees. They're going to lift their hands to him and say, you are Jesus Christ. You are Lord. Thank God for that. Listen, I'm tired of all these world leaders making decisions without him. One day they're going to make one decision, and that's he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is returning. We're on the winning side. See, I'm trying to encourage you tonight that he's our shepherd. Listen, he can lead us, but we'll just have to follow. And one day he's going to rule and reign. So let me ask you this. Do you know him now? See, he is the good shepherd. He is a merciful shepherd. He is a knowing shepherd. But do you know him? Do you take the time to learn about him? Do you take the time to care about him? Do you want to get to know him more? Because one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. But let me tell you this, Christian. Why don't you do it now? I mean, before the millennium ever comes, what's wrong with us just bowing the knee and saying, God, you are holy. God, you're in control of my life. He may not be in control of the earth yet. Listen, this is Satan's playground right now. But one day, and it could be today, that he could rule your life. If you just say, God, here's my life. Would you serve me? God, can I serve you? Lord, I want to give you everything. I want to give you my heart. I want to do right. I want to live for you. Would you bow the knee and say, God, you are Lord. You are the good shepherd. And there's nothing like you. The problem is so many Christians don't know him yet. He's coming back. Are you ready for that? Are you living your life like he's nowhere near? Are you living your life like, hey, it's just a fable. It's just a story tale. No, he really is coming back. We serve a returning shepherd. And he is the good shepherd. But is he your shepherd? Heavenly Father, I do thank you for tonight, God. Just a quick, simple thought on our shepherd, Lord. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for being a good shepherd. I pray that you just help us, Lord, to find comfort in you. God, I pray that you help us to get close to you. And God, I pray that we would know you the way we should.